This is Keep It Juicy, episode 65.
Hello, and welcome to Keep It Juicy, a weekly podcast that features experts on living a juicy life. What's a juicy life? It's a lifestyle for those who have put in a few miles and are ready to turn off-road, who are still learning and excited, who are fearless, or who are scared but dare anyway. Juicies are grown-ups, so some of our language may not be appropriate for children. Juicies are bold, passionate, and ready to squeeze every drop of juice out of life. I'm your host, Helen Mitternight. Are you ready? Let's keep it juicy.
Hi, it's Helen Mitternight. You know how time seems to fly faster the older you get? Well, there's a scientific reason for that. And there are some pretty easy ways to slow time down, believe it or not. Today, I talk with physicist and engineer Adrian Bejan about time and why it seems to race by. Speaking of racing, Adrian's mind is super fast, and you'll hear me zooming to catch up to get him to talk so we can all understand what he's saying and just having fun. Listening to his mind work is fascinating. And the implications for all of us about his study of time, amazing. Adrian Bejan, today on Keep It Juicy. Hello, we have Adrian Bejan with us today. And Adrian, are you a physicist or an engineer? I guess I should get that question out of the way.
I'm a physicist that trapped inside the diploma of an engineer.
Yes. Got it. Trapped. And you are at Duke University, right?
Yes, that's right. I laugh because my most naked detractors refer to me as, he's just a mechanical engineer. In other words, he shouldn't be talking about mind the time or whatever the subject of discussion is today.
Well, and we're going to get to that, but let me talk about your engineering mind for just a second, because I, in doing research about you, saw that you were looking at ways to cool down small electronics and that you got your inspiration from nature, like tributaries and things like that, right? So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, okay. That's, in fact, a wonderful way to start, because it's about growing up. In other words, I had my ahas early on. I was born and raised on the Danube, especially exactly in the Danube Delta, which is a place that most civilized people would consider wild and untouched. Today, it should be a wild preserve. It probably is. And there, I was introduced firsthand to nature, actually hands-on, fishing all the time and spending my time on the riverbank. And I observed from spring to spring that the riverbank had moved. It was different. That was the first hint that I was involved in watching a movie of evolution. Or I was witnessing the river as a big entity, something like an animal, living and morphing and having its way. So that was the beginning. In school, I was attracted to mathematics and physics and zoology, botany, and geography. Now, in retrospect, I realize the reason I was attracted to these things is because I like to make drawings. And my parents noticed that and they sent me to art school after hours. And all these things, step by step, unwittingly, really, made me okay, inclined or well suited for engineering. The other big deal in my youth was the fact that I was raised as a basketball player. I was adopted by team sports because my father was absent. He was in hospitals all the time. And so I had a very healthy upbringing by chance.
You know, people would never suspect, Adrian, that art would have prepared you to be an engineer. The science and the math, yeah, but I don't know that people would have thought art.
Well, you see, Ellen, I would love to talk about that because now, again, in retrospect, because you're asking me about the cooling of electronics, which was an aha of only 25 years ago. In retrospect, I think I see no difference between art and science, and for that matter, between sports and science. They all have to do with the feeling of pleasure that the creative person, the creative mind, experiences when showing his or her fellow man something new, different, and useful. The painter has that joy. Obviously, the scientist the same joy. The creative basketball player has that internal burst of happiness. So it's about creativity, and that creativity is in every single case expressible in terms of images. These days, of course, you see movies of the great plays in the sports. But of course, we have the paintings. We have the Philharmonic, which is in fact a show, and we have scientific papers that I can tell you are better when they are populated by better drawings. Nobody remembers papers that are full of abstract math that only three people understand. You see, that's mm-hmm. The oneness of. Of fun with ideas, and in my case, by sheer luck, in the least of the expected places on Earth, because growing up under communism was very, very different than growing up in a free country. I came out. Okay, quite different. I was lucky that I continued my studies at MIT, and now this is the beginning to the answer to your question. At MIT, I discovered that I was attracted by thermodynamics. Thermodynamics literally is the science of getting power, dynamis in Greek, from heating, therme, also in Greek. So fire. In fact, the early so-called steam engines were known as fire engines because they would produce power only if you burned a fuel in them. They came 200 years ago and earlier from Britain, and they have changed the world in ways that are so dramatic that, of course, affluent people today, the whole globe is affluent compared with even, 50 years ago. People have no idea where this world came from. 200 years ago, there was no movement in comparison with today. Only the wealthier people toiling on the land had a horse and a cart. Imagine. So the thermodynamics, this science of power from fuel, as opposed to power from beasts of burden or from slaves, this is a huge, huge thing that redefined who we are. And this is why what I learned, yes, in the mechanical engineering at MIT, is really the mother of all the sciences and the mother of all the good living that we experience today. So yes, I am equipped. I'm empowered to talk about the implications of this part of physics. And the implications are immensely broad. The animal is itself the same sort of moving body as the as the human-made vehicle. There is fuel called food that's ingested. There are all sorts of other streams that are exhausted, so you can use your imagination. But the result of that flow and the transformation is movement. The animal body moves. It has locomotion. It has life. It has a lifespan and also a life travel. Clearly, the bigger animals move farther and live longer.
Right. But how do you go from that to cooling down your laptop?
I mean, I get
thermodynamics and the importance of the history, but let's get back to...
Correct. So that's right. I digress.
That's okay. I'll bring you back on track.
And before the cooling, I was already, let's say, in bed with the idea of the fact that the machines and meaning machine design and animal design are essentially the same thing. And then 25 years ago, I was involved in, I was actually confronted with the question of how to pull the heat out of a box, meaning the laptop, more easily, that is faster, with a laptop that's lighter. It occurred to me that the way to do that is to stick my hand inside the box, my hand being a something like a hand, but built out of very high conductivity metal like gold. So in my mind appeared a river basin of high conductivity channels that had to be inserted in this package of electronics in order to vehicle the heat out. So I had from one idea a drawing of something that coincidentally looked natural. And at the same time, actually a few months later, I was at a conference on thermodynamics in France, and the Nobel laureate, who was the banquet speaker, Ilya Prigozhin, declared in French that flow architectures such as the river basins and the lightning, these arborescent things are the result literally of throwing the dice. And when I heard that, I, by the way, I was lucky to understand French because that is what one gets coming from Romania. And it occurred to me that the speaker was wrong because in my case, on my own modest table here in Durham, North Carolina, I had these arborescent flow architectures not from looking at nature, but from invoking what to me was obvious, intuitively, invoking an idea.
So wait, go back. For the people who are not physicists and engineers, an arborescent flow, arbor meaning tree, so it branches out sort of the structure of a big tree, right?
Arborescent means tree-shaped.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure, because not everybody's going to understand arborescent.
correct. The Greek equivalent of that, so equally old word, is dendritic. Dendritic, dendron in the Greek means tree. So dendritic is another way to describe these architectures. The snowflake is one example. Obviously, the vascularized retina of the eye is another. Everywhere you look, it's one tree-shaped flow on top of many thousands of similar, but quite different in function tree-shaped flows.
So you built something that is shaped roughly like a tree inside.
I did not build anything. I made a drawing that came to me with my eyes closed. The importance of this human event at this conference in France was to tell me that here I am, obviously the at that time young and unknown. Who knew the principle that is responsible or accounts for the occurrence of all these designs in nature, a principle that was unknown to the Nobel laureate. And so I left the conference, meaning when it ended, challenged to explain to the rest of the world what I know, and other people consider, unknown or impossible to account for in my way. My way is purely theoretical. So that was the great event that led to the constructor law, which is the law of physics of evolution in nature, meaning evolution means design change, and with a particular direction in time. If you know this principle, then all these tree-shaped architectures and other architectures that don't have to be tree-shaped but are also natural, like the round cross-section of the blood capillary, all these things are not mysteries anymore.
And for my listeners, just that you know, Adrian was kind enough to send me a link to a YouTube video that explains a lot of this quite handily, and I will also put that link on the website as well with the resources, because I think it, just as you said, Adrian, being an artist as well as a scientist, for me, seeing that video and being able to visualize what you're saying now here on the podcast was quite helpful.
Thank you, Helen. Yes, so that's the kind of the background where I come from. Now, along the way, especially growing up in a place where there's very little movement, then one has a lot of time to think about things and to question. That's what I did, and that is what I continue to do. If you'd like to talk about the mind time,
I do, phenomenon. because that, yeah. The reason, just for my listeners, the reason that I was so fascinated to talk to Adrian is that I read an article that said that, aha, here is a physicist who has explained why time seems to just race by the older you get. Because if you're of any certain age, you know that is how it feels. Like time just goes faster and faster and faster. And you have an explanation for why this is.
Right. Okay. Correct. So, and the reason I came up with the explanation is because I've been wondering it for a very long time, meaning from the time when I was a little boy, when the hour of the whatever the class would never end. I think all of us remember those days in school where we cannot wait for the bell to ring. And then as we grew up, things were no longer that slow and boring. Now, of course, in middle age and much later, we hear the same exclamation at the new year, which is obviously last year was like yesterday, and where did time fly, or all this hand-wringing the last phase of life is speeding by. And then having paid attention to this developing impression, I became curious, and it occurred to me that the same sort of observation is available, that is, if you pay attention, if you're curious, available at every day. There are days that seem to, and even hours, that seem to pass more slowly than other days. I observed this when I was in school, for example, taking exams. It was much better to take exams there are certain exams when I had all the time in the world to do the exam and then go back to the beginning and do it again. And there are other days, usually mornings, when the exam time was gone before I was finished. And it was the same observation in playing basketball. There were games that were basically finished before I thought I started. There were games in which instead of Adrian being faster than the ball, the ball would hit me before I was predicting its arrival. And then there are other games, usually in the afternoon and evening, when I was a better player. Okay
so this is like the longest tease in the world, but why?
So, in the case of the daily example of how the time passes differently from the explanation is about fatigue. Fatigue is the daily counterpart of meaning short time scale counterpart of aging, which is a lifelong process. Now, what has aging got to do with why the days seem shorter as we get older? The physics of it is that the human mind is aware of the passing of time, because the images that our sensory systems transmit to the brain are captured discreetly. That is like taking snapshots. Our reality, our surroundings, is a sequence of snapshots. This is well established. In fact, you can look at the eyes of the infant. They are constantly jiggling around. The fast and short movement of scanning, really, the eye scans the field in front of it, are called saccade. And these saccades are of a short duration in the young, and of longer and longer duration in the older person. So, in other words, per unit of clock time, the number of snapshots transmitted to the brain, that is per unit time, it becomes smaller and smaller. That means that the duration of each snapshot becomes longer and longer. That's one aspect, and it has to do, why? Because the human body and all the pathways for the transmission of these stimuli, these messages to the brain, become longer. So in this case, the travel distance becomes greater, and so does the travel time. But the travel time becomes also longer for an additional reason, which is that the pathways themselves become degraded with age. The pathways, the best way to understand this is that, of course, some of them break. Some of them, obviously, they get clogged up. But the best example is that the body is, in fact, meaning the animal design is equipped with habits of trying to keep its passages open. There is stretching in the morning. You can see this in the cat. There's yawning. Yawning is the activity of stretching these tubes and keeping them open, as opposed to shrivel down to openings that are closed. There is, of course, coughing and expectorating. So these are the big size events that speak of the fact that inside the body, which is basically like a ball of yarn of conduits, inside the body there is a steady worsening of the ability of these conduits to allow what flows to flow.
Can you change it by paying more attention and being more mindful?
Well, okay, we'll get to that a little bit later, if you don't mind. But the punchline to this bit of physics is that that with age, the frequency of perceived changes in images decreases, and that is, of course, the answer to this impression or impression that that the days pass faster as we get older, because the mind time is not the clock time. The mind time is, in fact, this stack of let's call them cards that the mind accumulates, or images that the mind accumulates while it is awake and perceiving the surroundings. So that's the conclusion. And then you were asking, what did you just ask me? I forgot.
I asked if you could sort of reverse the effect almost by paying attention, because it sounds like what you're saying, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, that a baby has sort of these rapid snapshots, there aren't a lot of obstacles between the snapshot and the mind. But once you get older, there is more, the connections get frayed between the snapshots that you're sort of taking in and your mind. And so time is almost getting, not warped, but it's creating the effect of feeling like time goes faster. Is that right? Is that
well? What you say is correct, but the slow down in the rate of snapshots with age is part of that happens because of the growth of the body. Small things like the legs of the mouse are moving at higher frequency than the legs of the elephant. Okay, so and so is with the muscular action of in all parts of the animal. In this case, the movement of the eye. So when the eye is small, the baby is tiny. These movements, including the twitching of the fingers, are more rapid than when the organs are of bigger size. So once again, there are two phenomena in play, phenomena that change with age. One is the body growth. Body growth affects the size of things, and therefore the time scale of the movement along those growing and growing distances. That's growth. But the other phenomenon is the degrading of the flow along these conduits that transmit the images or the other stimuli. And those have to do with obviously with aging, especially in the later stages of life. And those are quite different.
But I guess I'm curious, because the two things that you just mentioned are more physiological. And like, let me give you an example of what I'm asking about. If I drive home from work and I'm not paying attention, which happens, you know, you can sort of be in your own head. All of a sudden I'm home. I don't even know how it happened. It happened so quickly, it seems, and I wasn't even aware of it because it just was sort of muscle memory and I wasn't focusing. If I make myself be present during that ride and I make myself notice the color of the sky, the pedestrians walking by, I've in a sense, I've taken back control a little bit of that time, and it didn't go as fast. So I guess that's what I'm asking, is it
correct,
possible?
Correct. That is actually okay. So I'm delighted to hear from you, because you speak much better. That is the lesson to be drawn from my little discovery of physics. If you want to slow down the time, do exactly what Helen does, which is to stop and smell the coffee and look at everything. I do this myself, by the way. I look at at where I'm actually planting my right foot after the left foot. I look at the blades of grass, and I look at the birds that chirp in the bush. Literally, this is what I do in order to slow down the time. The first mode, which was you waking up at home, even though you're the one doing the driving, is, yes, it's you're basically in a trance, and in front of you, because your eyes are fixated, there are not many images that change, and therefore your mind, the clock, the mind clock, has slowed down. It has not stopped, but it has slowed down to the point that you are surprised to be arriving home. This is the way the mind works, the ability to do what you said that you're doing, to look at all these details, that goes hand in hand with being rested. A person that is tired or drunk is unable to do this, to pay attention the way that you recommend to the listeners.
And that gets to the fatigue you were talking about
exactly,
earlier. Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely, exactly. In fact, my again, going back to being raised as a basketball player, my coach used to say that the first duty of the player with aspirations is to sleep well. And in addition to living clean and the obvious, but to sleep well. By the way, we see here why teams that play a game away are at a disadvantage with regard to teams that play at home. In the old days, even in this country, where travel during for a game, it was not as luxurious as it is today. Obviously, the team playing away was in trouble statistically. You can erase that advantage by providing easier and easier and obviously more restful transportation for the team that plays away. So fatigue is the daily version, meaning short scale counterpart of aging, and both of them are. Meaning both phenomena can be counteracted now wittingly with techniques of the kind that you just sketched.
It's mindfulness. I have one more question for you, because speaking of time racing, we're sort of racing here toward the end of the time we have. But in your constructal flow law that you talked about, again, my listeners, you can see that more on the video that I'm going to post. But you talk about everything instinctively branches out, lightning, rivers, that kind of thing. And I wonder if maybe this is more a philosophical question, but is the end of life more a coming together of all of that, or is it sort of the ultimate spreading out?
Well, I haven't stepped into that territory yet.
I know, and that's why I'm asking you.
according to my previous argument about the difference between mind time and the clock time being completely different, these two kind of ways of documenting the passing of time. As the mind time slows down, obviously at the end of life, the mind clock stops. That's the way it is. In fact, those who go, as I've done myself several times through complete anesthesia, know very well that the time stops between the start of anesthesia and the end of it. So that's the what I can say about the end of life. But I can come, if you don't mind, I would like to come back to the previous point that you're raising, which is what can you do to to have a richer life with a mind time that doesn't speed up too much. In addition to what you recommended, it's very important to avoid this fatigue that I was describing, fatigue that could be that of a lack of sleep, obviously drinking and some other things. But these days, in particular, Helen, is the habit, the danger of spending too much time on social media. This is an activity that, in fact, has serious consequences. Of course, ranging from sleep deprivation, which is the big no-no that my coach was signaling, to mood changes and mental disorder. So the topic that we discussed today is important, of course, for those who who wonder where the time went. But it also has important implications for society at large, for obviously health, and also for the safety of those who live around those who experience time distortion. That's the important thing to keep in mind.
It's fascinating stuff. I think we're going to have to leave it there just for time. Adrian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen, and thank the listeners for taking the time to spend it with us.
If you want to read more about Adrian Bejan's theories or see that video I mentioned on constructal flow, it's pretty fascinating, check out the general resources page on our website, keepitjuicy.com. Next week, I'm talking about human touch, both welcome and unwelcome. You can keep up with us on Facebook or Twitter at keepitjuicy.com or go to the website and sign up for my newsletter. And it really helps if you go onto iTunes and leave a review. Meanwhile, go out there and keep it juicy.